We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me shortly is Chris Biederman. He covers the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee. And we're going to talk about the schedule. Only we're going to do a little bit of a deeper dive, and we're going to draft the 10 games that we are most interested in, most excited to watch. Just a different way to kind of dive into the most important games on the 49ers 2022 schedule. Happy to be back. Excited to be back. Let's dive in.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown!
Close has got him, and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in! Touchdown!
If you told me that we hadn't done a podcast together since like March, I would believe you.
It's definitely been the longest break between pods that podding together that you and I have had since we started this podcast.
Yeah, because you were in Mexico, right, during the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on my honeymoon like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And so there's just a lot of space there where we weren't potting together. And honestly, I've missed it.
Yeah, I have too. It's, it's, you know, the routine there, like when there are a lot of, like, there've been a lot of nights during the week where it's, where you feel like you're used to having an obligation, but you're like, wait, I don't have to do anything right now. It's after hours. What's happening?
Yeah.
Cause we normally record like in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like, you know, a couple nights a week, there's always something to do. And now it's, I've enjoyed the freedom, but I feel like, you know, there was an emptiness in some of that time. So I'm glad you're back to, you know, refill the cup, so to speak.
I was on my honeymoon, so I'm not going to call it emptiness that I was feeling, but
you should not.
Now that I'm home and I'm, you know, what's weird is after you're gone for a long time and you're like doing your normal routine, like I was out of town for, we left Wednesday night. And then got back the following Sunday. So Wednesday to Sunday, and then a whole nother week.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out of work for like 7 work days. And like going to work today was weird. Like going back through my normal routine, because it's normal, but it feels awkward. And right. I'm trying to like remember what order I did things in, and It's a weird sensation until you're back in the swing.
When you travel, it feels like time takes up way more time than it does. Like when I was in Mexico, I was there for 4 days. It felt like 2 weeks.
Right.
Right. And like, if you go on a trip, that's like a 2 week long trip. Like it probably for you, it probably felt like a month or something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and especially because we're in DC, and I don't want to dive into details of the trip, but it was packed. Like there wasn't a day where it's like, yeah, we're not doing anything today. Like we had a museum to go to, a monument right. to see, friends to meet for dinner, like a game to go to. We were doing something every day. And so about the third or fourth day of the trip, I was like, it feels like we've been gone forever.
Yeah.
We've done so much. And then as we're going home from the airport last night, it's like, God, I feel like we just left. Like, yeah. Time is weird. Had a blast.
Crazy concept.
Very excited to be back doing pods again. And we have a little bit of content, which is good this time of year. We're going to skip the rookie minicamp content and we're going to go to a schedule draft sorts.
It feels like kind of a slower May than usual, right? Not just because we haven't been podcasting, but just news in general. Like, we've talked about Jimmy Garoppolo and their inability to trade him. We've talked about what we expect for Trey Lance a lot. But like, we're at a point where we just need time to sort of move forward so we can be at the end of July and we know if Debo Samuel is going to have a contract or if we know Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be around for training camp,
right?
All that stuff. And right now we're just kind of in a holding pattern.
Yes.
Which is why we do things like draft games off the schedule.
At some point we're going to watch old Niners games again too.
Oh yeah. Old Rush. Let's go.
Old Rush.
I'm in for it.
Hey, real quick. You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo and it triggered something in my head that I needed to get off my chest.
Mm.
Yeah. This might end up taking up the whole pod.
Okay,
and we can
great.
Push the schedule draft if we
All
need
right,
to.
That's fine. I'll settle in.
So I was listening to an NFL podcast that I like to listen to. And one of the people on the podcast was like, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the Niners starter next year because this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations and they're not winning the Super Bowl with Trey Lance.
Was this like episode a year old?
Well, no, but
okay. It was a new episode.
But, right. My issue with that is not so much the thesis that it would be really difficult for Trey Lance to win the Super Bowl as the starting quarterback in 2022. Like that, it's hard to win the Super Bowl regardless, much less being in your first season starting, much less like he's going to need in-game seasoning. Like there's just going to be a learning curve. But my issue with that notion is two things. One, the person on the podcast said, like, the Niners are a Super Bowl ready team. They want to win a Super Bowl now. And it's like, if they thought they couldn't do that with Trey Lance, they wouldn't have traded for him. Like, they knew that this was the spot they were going to be in. It's not a surprise that they're good. And then the other thing is, like, okay, let's roll with that. So now going into 2023, then you still have a quarterback that's not ready to win a Super Bowl. So then what do you do? Like, it's just an endless cycle. Like, at some point you got to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's just, I needed to respond to that, but I didn't have a platform to do it. So I'm doing it now.
Yeah. I mean, so I think people look at the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster and just assume that because he is, the 49ers are very serious about having him compete.
Right.
The plan and that might end up happening, but that was never the plan, right? The plan was to trade Jimmy, and they've come out and pretty much said as much. But because Jimmy Garoppolo opted for the surgery, he was impossible to trade and he's still on the roster, and the 49ers are just in a holding pattern waiting for him to heal up so we can throw and then potentially get traded. That's always been the plan. So their plan has been Trey Lance, and like, whether or not Trey Lance is ready is really immaterial, right? It's not
right.
Like, of course he's not ready. Like, you could go through the list of quarterbacks in the NFL and you would feel comfortable saying what, 8 guys are quote ready to win the Super Bowl. Right. It's like the elite guys and maybe some other young guys, but it's ready to win the Super Bowl as phrasing is just like content generation, right?
Yeah.
It's like you can have a segment and you're in talk radio. It's like, is Trey Lance ready to win the Super Bowl, you know, after the break? Like, the Niners aren't really having that discussion.
I'm gonna use that.
Yeah. I mean, the Niners aren't having that discussion. They're like, all right, Trey's our quarterback. We're going to move forward with Trey and we're going to try to create the best football team possible.
Right. Going to try and win every game.
Yeah. That's all they can do. They can't make a decision based on some weird hypothetical question like, is Trey Lance ready? It's like, no one's ready until they're there, you know? So
they're just, you know, OTA's like, I don't think he's ready to win a Super Bowl. Can he win 12 games? Yeah. Super Bowl? Huh?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. And like,
just
ideally,
a weirdly weird way to phrase something.
Right. And if you know, in a perfect world, Trey Lance is the Niners quarterback for what, three contracts? He's on the team for like 12, 15 years or something.
Right.
So like, yeah, we might look back if that happens and he ever does play in a Super Bowl. Probably not going to happen in 2022, but you never know. But like, the only way he'll get ready in 2023 and 2024 and 2025 is by playing in 2022.
Correct.
Saying he's not ready and then delaying his ascension is just, it doesn't serve any purpose.
Right. Because then he's in that case, he's never going to be ready.
Right.
Full stop.
Right.
So I just, like I said, I don't want to take the whole pot at that. I just needed to get it off my chest because that line of thinking is like really prevalent. It's like,
do you think Ty Davis Price is ready to lead the NFL in rushing?
I'm going to have to see it first. I think he needs to sit a year behind Trey Sermon.
Right. But that's kind of
Trey Sermon helped the 49ers get to the NFC Championship game last year, Chris.
Good point. But that's how funny the discussions around quarterbacks are just so much different, right?
The question needs to be, is he ready to be as productive as Jimmy Garoppolo?
Is he ready to be a winning quarterback?
Right.
That's all and he needs to be right now.
Maybe not in the first 6 weeks, but can he by week 8, 9?
Right.
Like, can he get to the bye week at 4-4 and then go on a run? Like, it just, right. I don't know. Anyways, the discourse is just grinding on me, dude.
And you've been away from it.
I know, but I dove back into my podcast today and just the first thing I hear is like, I just want to rip my hair out.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's a product of Jimmy.
Rip my hair out. I don't have any.
Yeah, we have facial hair. I had a really profound thought. The 49ers are in this position because they couldn't trade him. This wouldn't even be a talking point if they just traded him. So that still might happen. And then everybody who's been saying Jimmy's going to be on the roster, Jimmy's going to be the starter, be like, oh, no, the plan was to move to Trey Lance. Now, I mean, there is a possibility that Trey Lance just absolutely stinks during spring and OTAs and they're like a little worried. And then maybe they really do. They do, you know, mess with the idea of keeping Jimmy, but I don't see it happening personally. I'd be shocked, put it that way.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you want to talk about the schedule now?
So bad. Let's do it.
I know you were locked in. You did a solo pod on the schedule. We're going to deep dive again.
Yeah.
So put your floaties back on. We're diving in the deep end. So we're going to draft the games that we think are the most fun, interesting, excited to watch, however you want to phrase it. And I'm going to allow you to pick first. So what is the most interesting game on the 49ers schedule, Chris?
So what I like about this schedule is there are a lot of options for this.
Right.
They're like, you have the Rams games.
Don't obviously. Step on the bit. Oh my God. Don't step on the bit.
What? I don't know the bit.
If you start explaining why all the games are exciting, oh. It ruins the discussion.
Oh, I got it.
Well, when we talk about those games,
there are a lot there of them. Are. So you could go a few different ways. I'm going to go with the Super Bowl rematch from 2 years ago, the Chiefs in week 7 at Levi's Stadium, Trey Lance versus Patrick Mahomes. Presumably, it's just going to be really interesting on a few different fronts, right? Like, is Trey Lance going to be able to match Patrick Mahomes point for point? Can the 49ers defense slow Patrick Mahomes at all? What's the Chiefs offense going to look like without Tyreek Hill at that point? It'll be week 7. So we'll have a pretty good idea. Is the 49ers offensive line going to be able to hold up to that pass rush? But just all of the subplots about the Super Bowl and revenge and whatnot, you know, if the 49ers are going to make a deep playoff run, I think they need to win some of their high profile games. And given that they'll be coming off road games at Carolina and at Atlanta, coming back, presumably from an East Coast trip where they stay out there, coming back to play the Chiefs is going to be a really big game. And so for me, the Super Bowl rematch is the one I'm most interested in right now.
Yeah. And you said it right at the top. This could wind up, if Trey Lance is good, like let's go to the hypothetical where, cause we don't know, he might be good, he might not be, but let's go to the hypothetical where he hits the ground running and he's pretty good early on and just kind of gets better as the season progresses. Week 7 is about the time I think that would be the real, like he establishes himself as like, oh man, he's going to be a player. Like he's going to be really good. And that would be just a really fun, you know, both teams in the mid-30s type of game and Trey Lance going blow for blow with Patrick Mahomes. That would definitely win or lose, I think would definitely be a benchmark type of game for Lance and the 49ers. So I think that's a good pick.
Or the 49ers are 2-4 and then switch back to Jimmy Garoppolo for that game.
Stop. I'm thinking right after the bye, it's Brock Purdy time. My first pick is the NFC Championship game rematch from last year. The first one, it's week 4. It's Monday Night Football. The 49ers play at the Broncos the previous week in week 3 on Sunday night. Then they come back Monday Night Football against the Rams at Levi's Stadium. I think obviously the home opener is week 2 against Seattle, but I think the buzz at Levi's Stadium for week 4 against the Rams, where you maybe have both teams 3-0, maybe one's 2-1, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that building is going to be electric. And I think anytime the Niners and Rams play against each other, it's going to be really, really good football. And it's going to be the defending champs. It's going to be Monday night. There's not a game I'm more excited to watch than the Niners Rams week 4.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it could be a situation where, I mean, one thing that's nice about the 49ers schedule for them is it does open at least now. It looks a little soft, like at Denver is going to be a tough game, but at Chicago and home versus Seattle are two games that the 49ers should be favored in.
Yeah. They're favored by 6.5 against Chicago right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, they should have at least 2 wins going into week 4. If they're 2-1 going into week 4, you feel okay about it, but that becomes a bigger game. Like if they lose any of those first 3 games, that just increases the importance of beating the Rams, right?
Yes.
In week 4, if they're 2-1 or even 1-2, I don't think they would be, but even if they're 1-2, like the more losses you have in that first month, obviously the more important getting that win over the division rival is going to be important. So, yeah. All right. Third pick in our draft. I'm going week 14 at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, ever heard of him?
No, explain.
Obviously all the discussion about him wanting to come to the 49ers in 2020 is going to be a storyline. Otherwise, like you think about the same with the Rams too, like potential contenders in the NFC. This is going to be a team that you might have to go through to get to the Super Bowl. And so it's a loaded roster. They're going to be coached by Todd Bowles. The blitzes that Trey Lance is going to see are probably going to be the toughest he'll face all season. Just from a schematic standpoint, the offensive line is going to be tested in a really significant way. Defensively, obviously, the Niners cornerbacks are going to be stressed a lot. Their pass rush is going to be stressed a lot. Tampa's offensive line is good. I think this game for me could have been number one. I'm glad you went with the Rams second, because I was waffling between Bucks and Chiefs for the first one, but, I just think this is a great game both for subplots off the field and things journalists like myself can write about, and just the football on the field. Like it checks all those boxes. It's late in the year, so there could be some serious seeding ramifications. Mm-hmm. And it's just shaping up. I mean, right now in May, it looks like a huge game.
Yeah. And you want to talk about like benchmarks and checkpoints. If there's a really good chance that the Niners are going to need to win, like, what is that? Their five games, like three or four of their last five to get in. And you mentioned earlier, like they're going to have to win some of their high profile games. I was on at Niners Wire. I was doing like a predictions, like just early win loss type of deal. And it's like, man, if you give them losses in all of their big games, they're not making the playoffs. And I think that's one. I'm fascinated to see what Tampa Bay looks like this year. Because at some point, Tom Brady is not going to be great anymore. I'm not betting on it. But like, maybe it happens. But it's also like, there's just the added storyline of Tom Brady playing in the Bay Area. The Niners could have had him, but decided not to. That's just going to be a monster talking point that week. And it could be an NFC Championship game preview.
One of the coolest moments, like, you know, as writers, and I don't like to do this, but like, I will share this one story. Like, as writers, we obviously talk to famous people. We ask famous people questions and stuff like that. And like, as somebody who grew up going to 49ers games in the 90s, like in 2016, we got Tom Brady on the conference call before the Patriots came to play the 49ers. And it was that rain soaked game. The Patriots did their thing. The Niners were obviously really bad, but being able to, in the conference call before the game, I asked Tom Brady like what it meant to him to be compared to Joe Montana, and he talked about like how flattering it was, but there, you know, Joe's in a class of his own, and gave like a really like it was a little bit better than boilerplate, but it was one of his longer and most interesting answers that he gave on the conference call. But it was something that, because it wasn't directly related to the game, like, you know, often players don't really talk all that much when you ask them like game plan specific questions, and, you know, mm-hmm. respect the opponent and everybody's great and whatnot. But he was like really thoughtful about it. And it was just really cool. Like, it's just one of those experiences. Like, you know, there are very few memorable conference calls that like beat reporters would have with opposing players or coaches. And like, this was definitely one of them. And so I'm hoping Brady will hop back on the phone with reporters before the game and maybe answer some more questions like that, and maybe have a different perspective, because it will be, you know, 6 years later, and it'll be more closer to the end of his career.
Yeah. 6 years later and had a chance to play for San Francisco and they said, no, thanks.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Going to be very, very fascinating. Number four, my second pick, week 17 at the Raiders, New Year's Day in Las Vegas, a game that my family had circled. My in-laws had circled, a bunch of my friends had circled. And as soon as it came out, it was New Year's Day. They're like, nah, never mind. flights and hotels in Vegas are not cheap, but you're talking about week 17. First of all, it's Niners Raiders, which is just one of like weird NFL rivalries that like isn't historic. They never met like in a Super Bowl. They don't really have like a classic, like Niners Raiders, you know, like stretch But the fans feel it. It's very much a thing. And man, Niners Raiders in Vegas, two teams that could possibly be playing for the, either their playoff lives or for seeding. It's a Raiders team that I think is going to be a lot better this year. Josh McDaniels, first time head coach. There's a lot going on in that game. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's Raiders Niners. Like that's, mm-hmm. that's going to always be a lot of fun.
It's
Niners' first game in Vegas.
It's interesting. Like Niners and Raiders is really interesting because it feels like a rivalry that's like really tangible. But then you think about it, it's like, well, they only play once every 4 years. And like, there haven't been too many Super Bowl memorable games, right? Like Nick Mullins' start a few years ago, was that 2018 where he lit him up and had like a historic statistical performance.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Colin Kaepernick game in 20. Was that Harbaugh's last season, 2014, where the Niners went to Oakland and lost? That was memorable. I think more from the post game. No, that was 14.
No, it was 14. That was Harbaugh's Carr's rookie year.
Harbaugh's last year.
Right, and Carr's rookie year. Yeah.
They
beat the Chiefs like the week before, I think.
The Raiders were bad, and the Niners were mediocre, but still should have been good. So it was just shocking. And then I remember sitting in like, they had the press conferences in the A's weight room. Like if you've ever been to an NFL game in the Coliseum, you know, it's not like super set up, but the from like a press conference standpoint. So the road press conferences were in the A's weight room back when the A's still had the small clubhouse before they moved into the Raiders locker room. But there was a tense exchange, I believe it was between Colin Kaepernick and Lowell Cohn. And it was, I don't remember the specifics, but I remember Lowell taking Colin to task pretty well.
He stunk in that game.
Yeah, he was bad in that game. The Niners were bad in general. That was just a bad Niners season overall. But
what was wild is I remember that game very vividly because I remember when the Raiders beat the Chiefs, I was like, that's good for the 49ers because they're not going to be the Raiders' first win of the year.
True.
It'll be their second win.
True.
Yeah.
I think a tackle for the Raiders got a touchdown in that game.
Donald Penn.
Yeah,
good thing is that's right. The Niners Raiders game, as soon as it became, you know, you can line it up on the schedule when they're gonna play, got really excited just for that game in general. And the Raiders are gonna be in a really hard division. And not that the Niners are in an easy division, but the AFC West is going to be a monster. And I think that game is not only going to be just a ton of fun, but it's going to have huge potential playoff implications. It's going to be Vegas on New Year's Day. If I could go to any game, I think that's the one road trip I would make.
I wonder if it being New Year's Day, like if that's going to have any impact on the crowd. Or is it just going to be one of those things where like you deal with the hangover just by picking it up, like, you know, pick up the partying again, or if it's going to be like kind of sleepy because everyone's going to be a little bit tired from New Year's. Anyway, it'll be a good crowd. Okay. Week 3. My next pick's week 3 at Denver. Russell Wilson. The Broncos are one of those teams that everybody's really excited about, but we don't really know what to expect from completely. On paper, having Russell Wilson with those weapons that they have, with that defense that they have, screams they could potentially be a playoff team in the AFC. But as you mentioned, the AFC West is completely loaded, and we don't know if Nathaniel Hackett's a good coach. But I think that game, Sunday Night Football, Niners, Broncos, Russell Wilson, is that their home opener? I should have looked this up beforehand.
I don't think so.
Week 3 would be kind of a late home opener. No, their home opener is the week prior against Houston. So it'll be Russell Wilson's second home game. It seems oddly fitting that after Russell Wilson gets traded out of the NFC West, the 49ers still have to play him.
But, yeah, they play the Seahawks week 2 and then have to face Russell Wilson in week 3.
Yeah. But it's a fascinating game. Like Denver is... I think sneaky, like one of the better home field advantages in the league, whether it's the elevation. I think they have a really good crowd. the Broncos territory, like in that part of the country, like expands across multiple states because they're not really like there aren't really any other NFL cities close by. So like,
yeah,
the Broncos are a big deal. So I think week three at Denver is going to be a really exciting game.
I agree.
It's prime time.
I think I think Denver might wind up being like really good.
Yeah. I have no feel for it. I have no feel for ordering the AFC West.
I don't either, but just when you look at their team and you look at now they have a real quarterback, and maybe the Russell Wilson regression last year was real and he's just not going to be very good for the rest of his career. Like he's going to be good, but not like elite like he was. But if he is Russell Wilson still, like if that type of player is still in there, it wouldn't shock me if we're sitting here going into the playoffs and Denver is like a one seed and we're going like, oh, of course, look how loaded their roster is. And then they got Russell Wilson. Like that just seems like the kind of the, you know, every year there's a team that flies under the radar preseason. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, it's like, oh, wow, that team was really good. I would not be shocked if that's Denver this year. I think Denver is going to be excellent, and that should be a really, really fun game.
I think one of the things that's really fun about this season potentially is just the quarterbacks that Trey Lance gets to play against.
Yeah.
Like getting the AFC West and potentially his first year. Obviously, you know, there's quarterbacks aren't playing each other. You're going against the defense, et cetera, platitudes right. and whatnot. But just like the matchup, the fact that we get to see how Trey Lance stacks up against a lot of these guys, including Russell Wilson, and there are going to be some other names on this list as we go through it here. But I just really enjoy the fact that like we get to see Trey Lance play Tom Brady and Russell Wilson and Derek Carr and Matt Stafford and everybody else. Like I think that's one of the really cool things about the Niners schedule this year.
Yeah. Opens up against Justin Fields, which we may get to, but I'm going to stick on the AFC West for a minute, and I'm going to go to week 10 against the Chargers. Niners coming off the bye in a spot that could very easily just kind of determine what the second half of their year is going to be. Like, let's just give them 4-4 going into the bye. They get the bye week. LA is playing in Atlanta the week prior. So they have an East Coast game while the Niners are on a bye week. And I think that's just going to be a test, not necessarily for Trey Lance, but just for the Niners and where they're at. I think the Chargers are going to be really good. And it's like, if the Niners are 4-4 and they come off the bye and they beat the Chargers, it's like, all right, they're 5-4. They just knocked off a really good AFC team. And now they're heading to the Cardinals on a Monday night. But if they come out of their bye and they lose, and again, we're giving them 4-4 and now all of a sudden they're 4-5 and they've just lost to the Chargers and it's just not really going their way. It becomes tougher to see the second half. I don't want to say going their way again, but it's tough to see the second half going favorably for them. So I think that could be a kind of a turning point game for San Francisco. It's Justin Herbert. It's just a really good Chargers team. It's Joey Bosa. It's Derwin James, Keenan Allen. I mean, they're Austin Eckler. They're so freaking good. And I just think it's going to be a really, really good test for San Francisco.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And like big shootout potential there too.
Yeah. And like Trey Lance versus Justin Herbert, like to the point I made previously, like that's an awesome quarterback matchup potentially. Yeah. Like, and you want to see how Trey Lance compares to that guy who the 49ers would love Trey Lance to turn into a few years from now. So I like the pick. I had that one circled on my big board for sure. So we're getting to the point in this draft here where we got to make some really interesting decisions. I have two games right now that I'm waffling between, and I'm going to go week one against the Bears.
That's a good pick.
Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. Obviously 49ers Twitter will be completely calm, cool, and collected no matter how that game ends up. And there will not be any, controversial tweets sent on the Bird app. I mean, it's a nice game for the 49ers to start the season with, I think. And like, it's a great Chicago, just a phenomenal city. Like one of my favorite cities in the country. I've only been there once.
It's so good.
I enjoyed it so much that it automatically jumped way up the list to one of my favorite cities in the country. And week one, it's going to be during baseball season. I know the Giants are going to be in town. which means there are probably going to be a lot of 49ers fans there making that trip. Week one can be weird. There is going to be a ton of excitement because it's potentially going to be Trey Lance's first start. And I just think for all those reasons, it's going to be a really, really fun and telling game. Like, we'll know if the 49ers had like an actual, like actually had a good training camp or not based on how they play in week one. Cause sometimes some teams like don't really take training camp too seriously and the season doesn't start for them until like mid October. So we'll see, but I think week one Niners Bears for me is a really interesting game. And don't take the game I was waffling between. So I can take it next because I'm not sure how I'm going to talk about any of these other games, to be honest.
Huh. Okay, well, now I really want to take... I'm waffling between two as well, and now I really want to take the second one because I think the second one I was going to take is the one you were going to take.
Take whichever one you want to take. We did not sort this out before we recorded, by the way. This is all live.
I'm trying to read your face to see if I can get any clues. I'm going to pick week two against the Seahawks.
Oh, okay. Good.
And here's why.
That was not the game I need to
figure out if it's Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson this whole time.
I think the answer is yes.
Maybe the Seahawks are going to stink. And maybe they're just not going to be very good. But I'm just fascinated to see if the Seahawks just the uniform and Pete Carroll give the 49ers trouble. Like, is that because we've always chalked it up to, oh, it's Russell Wilson. They're going to be in the game because of Russell Wilson. Game's going to be close because of Russell Wilson. Can't count out Seattle because of the quarterback. Well, now it's Drew freaking Locke who sucks. Like, he's not very good. So it's probably going to be Drew Locke who's not very good.
Or Baker. Maybe.
Mabes. Who's also, frankly, not that good. No. So they're making a massive downgrade at quarterback. And if the Niners still have trouble beating Seattle at that point, like, just chalk it up as two L's every year and move on. That would be tough. And again, it's early in the year and they play Seattle again in week 15 on a short week in Seattle. So that might be a better test, but man, the 49ers could have a chance to put a beat down on Seattle in a way they haven't in a really long time.
The Niners got one of the things that's insane about last year is that they got swept by the Cardinals and Seahawks.
Yeah. And still made the playoffs.
And went to the NFC Championship game. The Niners need to start to assert themselves over Seattle. Like, they need a couple seasons here where they sweep the series for sure. Yes. Just for an organizational confidence, I guess. Particularly now that Russell Wilson's gone. I agree with you.
Exercise that demon.
Yeah, and I think it was Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. I think both are to blame in their own separate ways, but that's a different discussion. We can have Joe Fan on the podcast to maybe talk about that at some point.
It's a great idea.
All right. You did not take the game I was waffling from, so I'm glad I got this one. Week 13, home against the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, okay. That wasn't even what I was thinking about.
The Mike McDaniel game.
Oh, very good.
I'm fascinated to see how Kyle Shanahan, how his season goes this year. Now that he hasn't had Mike McDaniel for the first time on his staff in like a decade or whatever it's been.
That sounds also like an argument for week one.
How so?
Just seeing what
Shanahan I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was like, the Bears. No, I got you. I know what you mean. I mean, is how responsible was Mike McDaniel for Kyle Shanahan's quote unquote super progressive offense, right? Like, super groundbreaking, really tough to defend. Mike McDaniel had his fingerprints all over this thing. So I'm just very curious to see what it's like for the 49ers this year and Kyle Shanahan without him. And obviously very interested to see if Mike McDaniel poses any serious threat to the 49ers immediately. Or I guess I should say in early December, what the Dolphins are going to look like, because I'm a big believer in Mike McDaniel. I think I mean, he's an incredibly smart guy. He's been through a lot in life. A lot of players swear by him. So I'm just very curious to see how his impact is going to, how losing him on the staff is going to impact the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan in general. And then what's that going to look like when his team plays the 49ers? Is he going to have answers to help the Dolphins defense slow down Kyle Shanahan's offense at all? Is McDaniel going to utilize Tyreek Hill in a way that was similar to the way Kyle Shanahan utilized Deebo Samuel? You know, these are all very interesting things to me. So I'm thrilled you did not pick this game because I wanted it to talk about it, but I think it's going to be a really, really interesting one. And it's coming down late in the year. The Dolphins might be one of those sleeper teams in the AFC. We're not really sure. But yeah, week 13, Dolphins, very interesting.
It's going to be fascinating to watch Tua underthrow Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle all season.
I don't know,
did
man.
Did you see that video they posted?
I was just going to say there's been some sweet videos making the rounds on the socials.
The Dolphins posted a video, if you missed it. The Dolphins posted a video of Tua Tagovailoa throwing a pass to Tyreek Hill, like a deep ball. And they were like dialing it up for the cheater, whatever the caption was. And it's just this horribly underthrown ball. Like Tyreek has to like stop and turn around and like basket catch it and then turn and start running. It was really funny. They got dragged immediately for it. And it just didn't help that Tua doesn't have a strong arm takes.
Like if the 49ers, say Jimmy comes to training camp healthy and the 49ers social team posts videos of Jimmy throwing passes and Trey throwing passes, the entire 49ers fan base is going to go apeshit about the idea that they're competing with each other, right? Like
1000%.
But if they post, if Jimmy's still on the team and they post Trey, but they don't post Jimmy, then it'll be like, okay, Jimmy really is, you know, probably not competing. Like The point here being how reactionary people are to social media videos that have zero context and like happen on the practice field and don't matter at all.
Right. You know, like remember the Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham training camp videos from a couple years ago?
Yeah, I was gonna say our guy Rob's video of Richard Sherman getting cooked by Marquise Goodwin on a go route. Before, I think it was 2019? I want to say it was before 2019.
It was 2018.
Either way, Richard Sherman ended up being a much better player for the 49ers than Marquise Goodwin was from the point of that video getting posted. And everyone's like, oh God, Sherman got cooked. He's washed. And I was like, no, he's an all pro and like the best corner on the best pass defense in the league.
Turns out Richard Sherman doesn't play a lot of like press man with no help over the top.
Right. Yeah.
doesn't happen very often.
Marquise Goodwin doesn't get a ton of, or didn't get a ton of go route opportunities for various reasons. Yeah.
Tough. Marquise Goodwin, aka off-brand Danny Gray. We'll save that conversation for another day.
Oh wow,
that's a bar. That was a bar.
Kirkland, Danny Gray.
Hey, that don't disparage Kirkland. I will rock with Kirkland brand all day. Sponsor the pod.
I rock with Kirkland gasoline. That's for damn sure,
dude. Who doesn't? People without Costco memberships. You should get one. Costco sponsor the pod. just start using everything as a plug. No. Okay. So there's one game to me that we're leaving out that seems like an obvious choice.
Good thing you got the last pick then.
But I'm going to leave it out for the sake of the bit.
Okay.
My final pick, my 10th pick, week 5 at the Carolina Panthers. Do you know why?
I don't.
Jimmy Garoppolo revenge game.
Okay. That's a good bit.
49ers heading to Carolina to face Jimmy Garoppolo and the Panthers after they trade him to Carolina just before the start of training camp. Once Carolina's gotten a chance to see him throw, they'll trade him for a 2023 fifth round pick. 49ers will let him go, and Jimmy Garoppolo will be Carolina's starting quarterback in week 5 when San Francisco visits the Panthers.
That's good. That's good content. Well done by you. I was looking at this game and I was like, there's zero interesting things about this game, but yeah, the idea that Jimmy could be playing for the Panthers in that by week 5, not crazy. So on any honorable mentions here?
Yeah, the Cardinals in Mexico.
Yeah,
week 11, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only one. We didn't list the second Rams game. Right.
Yeah, it's the same talking points as the other Rams game.
Right. Week 8 before the bye, after the Chiefs. Chiefs Rams is a tough Chargers with the bye between the LA games, but
that's Chiefs, Rams, Chargers at Cardinals in Mexico.
Yeah.
Is that the toughest four game stretch? We have to see how the Saints and Dolphins look. But Chargers, so. Cardinals, Saints, Dolphins, Bucks might be brutal too.
Yeah, at least with the Saints, Dolphins, Bucks, those are three straight home games.
After week 6, they do not leave the Pacific time zone.
Well, with the I guess
Mexico's
not. Yeah, Mexico City is not in the, but yeah, other than that, you're right.
Wow.
That's the only one. They leave just once. I mean, after the bye week, they have 3 road games and 6 home games.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. After the bye?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
6 home, 3 road.
Yep.
And one of those road games is Vegas, which I imagine will be a lot of Niner fans.
Yeah, so like they have their toughest road games are probably at the Rams, at the Raiders, and at the Broncos. But other than that, like you're not super, like they don't have any real gauntlet road games, it feels like. Like road games where you're just like, all right, this is a schedule loss.
So at Carolina, after the Rams Monday night game, it's a short week. They're flying across the country.
That's true.
But even that's a 105 kick, but a 105 Pacific kick.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. They will have familiarity with Jimmy Garoppolo, though.
It's a phenomenal point by you. Christian McCaffrey probably won't be playing in that one.
We're just already assuming he's hurt.
Yeah, what? I mean, how could you not? He's played 10 games the last 2 years. I'm not a bitter fantasy football person. That's not the reason I lost. I stink at fantasy football. But no, I think that's kind of the when you talk about like schedule, and then also going to the Rams after playing the Chiefs is tough. Also, Seattle Thursday night after playing Tampa Bay.
Right. Right. I guess my main point on that stuff is just like they get the Chiefs at home, they get the Bucks at home.
Yeah, true.
Chargers at home. You know, you do have a few tough road games, but like the biggest and toughest opponents they have at home,
yeah,
for the most part.
I also think so. They have 5 primetime games if you include the Thursday night game. 2 of those 5 come in weeks 3 and 4, and it's like, man, we talked about Trey Lance. There's going to be that little bit of a learning curve. And if he goes on to Sunday Night Football against Denver and stinks it up and they score 6 points, and then he goes on Monday Night Football against the Rams and is also not very good, you want to talk about narratives. That's going to be a lot.
Yeah, that definitely will be something. And then back to back road games after that.
Yeah. And if they're 1 and 3, and they've not looked good on their Sunday night and Monday night games, and then they have to go play Jimmy Garoppolo and the Panthers. That's tough luck.
Oh, man. I just can't even picture Jimmy Garoppolo in a Panthers jersey.
Okay, we'll start with the jawline.
Well, yeah, obviously. It's
fantastic.
Right.
I've got him in the black with the silver pants.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's weird.
It works.
For me.
It's working for me.
Can't picture it.
Light a candle.
I already got one. Pumpkin bourbon over here.
Pumpkin bourbon in May? Are you insane?
I mean, I don't like
pumpkin bourbon is a September through January candle.
Yeah, but this assumes that I go buy candles each season.
Yeah, dude. Coach.
You have a wife. This makes sense for you.
Bro, I've been doing this since I lived with 2 other dudes in an apartment.
Wow, congratulations.
Seasonal candles, dog.
I bought Ride these the ones when I first moved in here in January and just haven't updated. But you know what? Maybe I'll update. Maybe I'll get some fresher spring scents. But you know what?
All right.
I'm really partial.
Golfing in a couple weeks. I'm going to bring you spring and summer scents.
I mean, I can get them on my own, but I'm cool with that. That could be like the bet for golf.
Just like betting candles.
Like winner buys candles or loser buys candles.
Let's see how many strokes do I get? Let's see. Let's say you shoot an 80. I get 21 and a half strokes.
Well, so I'm like a 12. And you're like a 25.
28. I would, if I had to, I don't have a handicap, but I would guess it's like 25.
Yeah. So you'll get strokes on most of the holes. But yeah, we can make it work. We can do match play. I'm down.
I definitely don't want to do that. I already hate the game enough. I don't need to like lose at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the feeling. I got my ass handed to me on Sunday at Corica, but it's fine. We're bouncing back.
I've got a sun hat to wear. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited.
I got a sunburn to heal from golf. So
tough. All right. We're going to get out of here. Subscribe, rate, and review if you have not. We're going to be back in the swing now. We're going to be posting a lot of off-season content. Looking ahead at the roster. We'll have fun guests. We'll be doing some rewatches and having some fun with that. So just a lot of kick-ass off-season content for you. Like I said, if you haven't subscribed, rated, and reviewed, please do so. And we will talk to you next time.
Welcome back, man. It's good to have you.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.